What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the best hair in the business, Fran Mirabella.
Hi, Greg. Hi, best friends.
Hey, Fran. How are you?
I'm all right, man, for a Tuesday.
Yeah. For a Tuesday? You're not feeling beat up yet?
I mean, things judge by the day of the week.
Sure. Okay, yeah. For Tuesday, I guess energy levels are pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. I'm flying out today.
Where are you going?
Top secret event.
Okay, top secret event?
Greg probably knows.
Did I schedule it for you for it or no?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Tell us, you coward.
Tell us! Break the embargo! Don't break the embargo. Especially if I scheduled it.
You're the one that breaks embargoes on
these
shows.
What are you talking about?
I don't do that.
If you deliver sushi in the middle of a games cast, how am I supposed to dig through the bag and find the embargo information?
I'll tell you, I'm flying south.
So got it. Go. Wink. Now Mexico. He's going down for a Call of Juarez game.
Yeah. I thought he was going to the South Pole. That's what I thought.
Pretty much.
Maybe.
You know, the Reddit said you're getting too bold over there on the mic, and now I have to agree.
Okay. Yep.
South Pole reference, Barrett?
Yeah.
That's what you want to do on game?
Yeah.
Well, special guest Portillo, who's in my lap. There you go. He's put his head up.
The best.
Porty's here. And he's going
outclassed.
Back to sleep, probably, right there. Of course. Yeah, exactly. Right back
doing
what he does
best.
Build
up at noon schedule.
Did you see the news? Brian said today on Twitter,
what?
Up at noon, officially getting retired.
Oh, like
going
just
away forever.
Yeah.
It turns out you, Fran.
I
always thought the biggest opponent of Up at Noon was Fran. It turns out,
he was
the one keeping it alive.
I always told everyone at IGN I was just a big shield. Yeah, that was my job.
You didn't know half the crap I was getting keeping you from.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, everybody, head over to Brian Altano on Twitter and give him some love for Up at Noon, of course.
Are there future episodes?
He says they're planning some kind of farewell with a winky face, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was one of those things, too. Like, they want to try new stuff, and that was
a conversation
when I was there, too. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think.
Things happen.
You guys know how it goes.
Yeah.
Like, a little Game Over Greggy show.
Sure. You got to change. You got to evolve. You got to adapt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like to say, you know, I was always very much of like, when I left, I'm like, there's no way Up at Noon can go without me. And it turns out I was right. It took 4.5 years, but go to Brian, send him love, send Max some love too. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, wow, hold on a second. Wow.
God damn.
I didn't inhale a fly, but it felt like it. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindafunnygames where you can be part of the show. Bronze tier members get to send in questions. Silver tier gets the show early, not early, gets it on pretty quickly, ad-free as an MP3 and a video file. If you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. Head over to twitch.tv/kindafunnygames where you can watch us record the show live. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Tomorrow is our 12-hour stream day to close out January 2019, our fundraising month for Kinda Funny 4.0. You can come to twitch.tv/kindafunnygames from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Party down with us as we continue to raise money for the world tour, the crazy things we have, stretch goals, stuff like that. I saw a lot of people asking. The idea is going to be that tomorrow you get Kind of Funny Games Daily at 10 o'clock to start the stream. You get KFAF Live, and then right after that, we'll roll into the, hey, here's the updating the stream, here are the fundraising goals, here's where we're at, here's what's happening, and a whole bunch of announcements for the Kind of Funny World Tour. Did some get published on the internet today without us knowing? Yes, but we roll with the punches here. Am I right, Barrett?
Yeah, we do.
Exactly. Our sponsors today are Quip and Alien Blackout, and guess what? I ordered my Quip right before the show. I'm pretty excited.
Ooh.
But first, let's start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I feel like, you remember in Blues Brothers? This is a reference only you'll get as a Chicago boy. Blues Brothers.
Born.
Yeah, of course. When Belushi's checking out, and they make him sign the thing, but he can't cross that line, so he does the lean across, and he signs. That's what I'm doing, because Portillo's got me just enough off my game where I'm like, I'm hovering over it, but like trying to give him enough room.
It's the Portillo line.
I keep thinking what I need to do is get a bed for him that I can just put him on the table for.
That would be interesting. If he would stay there, that'd be pretty good.
I think
good.
He would if we got... If we,
yeah, just like a nice little...
Barrett, what do you do during the show right now? Like right now during a news story, what do you do?
Take time codes. I make sure that everything's running. I set up for in review.
You've already started the time code, right?
Yeah.
What I want you to do is go get his bag off the floor next to my desk and then the Kinda Funny blanket and bring them to me while I read our first news story.
All right.
Just toss them on the side and I'll get to him after the news story. Oh, Kevin, did you hear all that?
No, I didn't hear any of it.
Get his bag and the blanket. I'm going to try putting him on the table for the first time ever. First story on the road. I already say there's 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
We already did that part, though, right?
Know.
Okay.
I'm just catching everybody back up.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny. NetEase has invested in Quantic Dream. This is from Dean Takahashi at Venture Beat. For the past 12 years, Quantic Dream has been making exclusive video games like Detroit Become Human and Heavy Rain for the PlayStation 4. But Chinese internet company NetEase Games announced today it has acquired a minority stake in Quantic Dream. And that means that Quantic Dream will now make interactive storytelling games for a wider number of platforms. The deal is the latest between a big Chinese game publisher and a talented Western development studio. Quantic Dream will now expand its hiring and have the resources to invest in its next generation of games, said David Cage, co-founder of Quantic Dream, in an email interview with GameSpeed. The 22-year-old Paris, France-based studio will continue to operate independently under the direction of industry veterans Cage, and I'm always so sorry to this man. I'm sure he watches this show every day with his wife and kids. Ooh, Guillemont de Fomanier. That's important for preserving the creativity of a studio that made Detroit Become Human, a powerful parable about modern society's mad rush to make a new generation of slaves in the form of human-like androids. Dean has an extensive email interview with David, and I think you should all go read it, but I pulled out two quotes from both of them here. You ready? Dean, talking to David, and David says, "We're very excited to report that NetEase has taken a minority share in the capital of Quantic Dream. This investment will allow us to invest in future technologies and games in order to prepare for the next generation of platforms with the same ambition regarding creativity and innovation. Our goal is to develop our studio as a global, multi-franchise company while remaining an independent studio. We want to keep developing original games in the genre we pioneered, but also expand our audience by being present on all platforms. We were not interested in just getting funding. A studio's future is shaped by vision, the means to realize it, but also finding partners with whom you can create synergies in order to build something together while remaining independent in your decisions." David Cage's partner, a lovely gentleman with a very French name. I would call my wife to have her pronounce it, but she's in Quebec. We're in a million meetings. He says, "David Cage and I have been thinking about where we wanted to go next with the company for quite some time. We had the feeling that the landscape was going to evolve significantly in the coming years with new platforms, new business models, new ways of playing, and new businesses driving change in the industry. All of these evolutions will definitely have their own challenges, but also offer amazing opportunities." Fran, the dream of Quantic Dream being purchased one day by PlayStation.
It's over.
The death of what was truly the last second-party studio in the PlayStation thing. Don't bother, you're wronging me. I'm sure there's other I'm forgetting. It's all, what do we do? What's happening? Quantic Dream on Xbox, on PC? No, I can't believe it, Fran. I refuse to believe it.
I mean, it is a minority stake still, right? So never say never.
Sure, maybe but they keep making the point of new technologies and new platforms and all these other new things they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like they're going to expand things, and then it's good timing. We've been talking about NetEase lately every time I'm on the show, which is relevant because they did a similar thing with Bungie. They invested $100 million in Bungie. That was June of last year. It says, don't worry, you know, their partnership with Activision will be unaffected.
What? The one shot threw you off?
No. I was joking that Bungie said, I know you're fixing Porty. They, at the time, you know, they're like, oh, we're taking $100 million.
Let's be honest. Portillo's 13 years old. There's no fixing him at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah. Don't sit on my coffee, buddy.
Well, you know what?
I'm going to put it on this side.
We're all going to have to evolve.
I love this. I love it. But so they say, gave, you know, Bungie $100 million. It was a private investment for future stuff. It says Destiny and Activision will be on a fund. But as we know, you know, Activision is no longer as part of the partnership. But I don't think it's relative to this, but I thought it was kind of funny. As it pertains to Quantic Dream, though, you know, I think it's probably a good thing. Chinese internet company, as they are labeled. That's literally,
it's probably a good thing. Chinese internet company.
I had to laugh a little bit that, you know, but Chinese internet company, NetEase Games, that is their descriptor. They apparently do email services and internet infrastructure stuff and all kinds of stuff. They have a lot of money in China, but I do think it's a good thing. We know Quantic Dream actually is talented.
Oh my gosh,
they can take a while
incredibly
for the products.
Talented.
So
I mean, that's my thing. Is like, I'm joking around, but the idea of getting more Quantic Dream's games to more people, the most people possible, is huge, and it is a big deal, and that's what creators want when they make art, right?
Yeah, they didn't explicitly say multi-platform in here, did they?
They sure did.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the big change.
This is David Cage. Our goal is development. Our goal is to develop our studio as a global multi-franchise company while remaining an independent studio. We want to keep developing original games in the genre we pioneered, but also expand our audience by being present on all platforms.
All platforms.
That's the one he's going for.
So I think that's really cool, though. I mean, wouldn't
really
you
cool.
love to play like Detroit on the Switch? I mean, is there anything wrong with
okay,
it?
Okay, there you go. Sure, right? I thought you were about to say some PC BS, and I was about to get the hell out of here, Framie, bro.
Oh my God, can you imagine hell out of here. How good that would look?
Oh my God, it's so 4K. Look at the water so and the PC. Robot juices. The robot juices are rolling down their face. It's amazing.
You're making so many PC enemies, Greg. And one day,
oh, I already have them.
Up.
Don't worry about
we're
that.
We're going to rise up. It'll be like Terminator. You're not even going to see it coming. That's what
we
it's
had you
like.
So close. We had the PC. We had the PC on the ropes. I still have my phone.
You know,
Mike
what?
Thompson with a giant tombstone he made on Charles Onyet's desk that said "Rest in peace, PC gaming." And I was
so
like, "It's
ago.
Over. We did it." And then here it came.
Much like David Cage, I also love all platforms, including the PC.
Oh, I'm joking around. I love. I we know, have a lot. Of, we have a good conversation coming up about the Epic Store. No, so, yeah. This is like it's cool. It's different. It's crazy. It's I wonder how hard PlayStation ever pushed to try to see if they could get them as a first party, if they could get them truly independent.
That's the question for the Greg Miller.
Yeah.
What do you think? This is a mistake for PlayStation to not scoop them up. You know, because in one version they're like, well, maybe they still get the game. They just don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe they don't. Maybe it goes exclusive on something now.
And that's
you know?
Totally possible, right?
Phil Spencer swoops in, works with NetEase, gets it first 6 months. I don't know. What do you think? Is it a mistake?
I don't think it's a mistake. I think it's the way the wind's been blowing for what PlayStation's doing, right? I think that PlayStation 4, and we love it, and don't get me wrong, I know there's a million great exclusives. I think they have pumped the brakes on their exclusive pipeline like they were. And, you know, remember PlayStation 3 days, Fran, when we were at IGN? Every month for a while there was some exclusive, but none of them were blowing the doors off of anything.
Yep.
And now you really see them doubling down on their first parties and having exclusives and having a lot of success. Was Detroit Become Human, with the money PlayStation invested into making that exclusive, was that enough of a return that they were like, oh my gosh, yes? Or were they like, what was the point? This wasn't, like, this didn't move the needle. And I'm sure, don't get me wrong, I like Quantic Dream, right? I'm sure they're talking about their mantra, the studio being truly independent, doing what they want. I'm sure that's a big part of it, where PlayStation is like, at some point, hey, we could work with a different license, a different IP. And I'm sure they're like, no, fuck that. We want to make our own games, our own IP. We want to own this. We want to be a part, you know. And I'm sure, on one hand, that's been exciting and has worked well for PlayStation, but is it enough of an investment? Does it work well enough that they're like, okay, well, if you're always going to do your artsy game, which I appreciate, are you going to always make your artsy game? It's never going to be a juggernaut super success.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's one scenario is that Quantic came back. They had the discussion, said, hey, look, we're looking for more funding, PlayStation. Yeah. Are you willing? Like, can we get you signed up for the next 5-6 years or whatever?
And again, maybe, for what they're talking about, like, it sounds like that wouldn't even be what they want because they just don't want to be limited. I do think, you know, David Cage's partner here, right? The other interesting thing, right? We had the feeling that the landscape was going to evolve significantly in the coming years with new platforms, new business models, new ways of playing, and new business driving change in the industry. Like, that's a pretty bold statement that makes it sound like, perhaps, you know, as you see crossplay happen, as we see all these different things happen, as we see Xbox, I think, they're really building an offensive here to launch on the next wave of consoles.
Yeah, I think in an ecosystem where we're talking about, you know, Gearbox, you know, previously
GamesCast,
who's sticking around, who's, you know, staying, all that. I do think in the ecosystem, you do have to look to diversify. And I think you're probably right that they also want to.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, you're beholden to your investment. And so, you know, I think it's a good thing that NetEase came in. Who's to say it's even enough at this point? But, you know, it's that other side I think you're hitting at that's really interesting is Sony obviously had influence on what is Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily.
Yeah, in fact,
they bring amazing experience with their producers. But there's the other side is what is Quantic Dream going to do without having to worry about
it? In a lot of ways, and stick with me on this one, it reminds me of Remedy, where Remedy was locked to Xbox for so long, not owned by Xbox, but, you know, making now they're on Control. They made Quantum Break. Alan Wake before then.
Controllers. I was like, I need to try this out. The Remedy controllers.
Like, it's like a psychedelic experience, right? It wouldn't be a normal controller. But the way that, all right, cool. Now their Control is going everywhere, right? And it's a 505 is being published by 505, and it's getting it more press, is getting more people on it. In a lot of ways, it's what that's actually not 100% correct. In a lot of ways, it could go in the same way of Insomniac, which is, and that's actually a terrible example because their big hit was Spider-Man. So throw that out the window. It's more like Remedy. And I think that, granted, Control remains to be seen if that's going to be a runaway success, if that's going to move numbers, if that's going to get into more hands than Alan Wake did, than Quantum Break did.
Yeah.
But I bet it does. I think that's going to have a chance to have them shine.
Yep. Yeah. And I was thinking about what I just said. And you can choose how much to read into or not read into what David Cage had said, you know, we're not interested in getting just getting funding.
Yeah.
A studio's future is shaped by vision, the means to utilize it, but also finding partners with whom you can create synergies in order to build something together while remaining independent. So again, maybe that's what they've been searching for. Maybe, who knows, maybe that's the other story. They're like, woo, all right. That was fun and all, but we're glad to be independent now because maybe that's the
stuff. Well, they were independent before, but I mean, I think it's now having capital and reach, right?
Sorry, yeah. Funding-wise, they were just doing, that's a really good point. They were just doing Detroit, though, right? That was
right, and that's the other thing in here they talk about, right? They want to be a multi-franchise,
multi-fran studio. Those are the ones you want to invest in. NetEase, you can find me.
You want them to invest in your Twitch channel?
Twitch TV slash
Go ahead, invest with your $5 Amazon Prime subscription. Multi-franchise company, yeah. And also in the, I'm pulling up Dean's article here, right? He asked him how big is Quantic Dream. David says, it's around 150 full-time employees. We are now expanding our staff, and we are currently actively recruiting talents from around the world to work on next-generation tech and a slate of ambitious projects.
The Quantic Dream PC store, Greg. Are you ready?
Oh, God. Don't get me started. Don't get me started on this.
That's a good perfect segue.
But it seems like, yeah, they want to take that next step to be a bigger studio, to have more things, probably get games turned out faster. Because as much as I love Quantic Dream, that is the problem, right?
It takes a while.
It's Heavy Rain. It's Beyond Two Souls. It's Detroit.
Yeah, maybe they do, like in the midst of this, maybe they do something more quote unquote indie while they're developing some big AAA thing. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm excited about it, though. Guillaume, I think. Is it Guillaume?
Oh, that's nice.
Ask your wife. I think
I told you I would ask my wife. But she's very busy in meetings all day.
Call him Gilly.
Gilly!
Just make it up.
We're going to call him G to F. That's what we'll do.
I got it.
G to F till we get somebody from France writing in.
G to F, for sure.
Nobody even speaks French in our chat either, because there's no "you're wrong" of like, "you morons, here's how you say it."
Is it Fondamir? I'm going to just go on record.
That sounds way better than what I said, which is just mumbling. Number two on the Roper Report, THQ Nordic has tweeted a response about Deep Silver moving Metro to Epic. You're aware of all this Epic Games story yesterday.
I'm very aware.
They're moving Metro off of Steam. They're putting it right onto this thing exclusively. Everybody's freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because of the pre-order situation. I don't know if that's in here.
That was yesterday, how they're going to honor pre-orders, but you can't pre-order anymore.
Wait, there's more to the story?
Right, so THQ Nordic now is responding to this.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, because like obviously Deep Silver doing this is a weird move. Coke Media is involved. I'm going to read the Nordic thing, all right? The decision to publish Metro Exodus as a timed Epic Store exclusive was made entirely by Coke Media's side, as Metro is their intellectual property. We are a sister company of THQ Nordic, parentheses Vienna, which is the reason we can and will not comment on this matter. We do not want to categorically exclude the possibility of timed exclusives for any of our games in the future, but speaking in the here and now, we definitely want to have the players choose the platform of their liking and make our portfolio available to as many outlets as possible.
So catch me up. So wait, is THQ Nordic? So
remember, THQ Nordic and Deep Silver and Coke, they're all involved together. And like, that's the thing with the sister. I think Coke Media owns part of it, right? That's the deal?
But in some rough concept, they're distributing, publishing. They're involved, but this sounded like THQ Nordic's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know we're involved, but that's their decision. That's
right.
All
I mean, THQ Nordic has been like the champions of the small IP. And like, they're going to come in and do all this different stuff for games, right? Like, they're a big deal.
Yeah.
All right. So THQ Nordic bought Coke Media. That's the deal. So they bought Coke Media. This is from, I'm reading Christopher Dring, February 14th, 2018. THQ Nordic has agreed to acquire Coke Media and deal with whatever.
But it was up to them. They're saying, they're like, hey, as much as, because they're on
the
store,
deal includes the entire Coke Media business, including Deep Silver, who publishes that.
Right.
So this is an existing deal since Coke, their deal where THQ Nordic now owns Coke Media and then inclined, you know, kind of owns Deep Silver. This is Coke Media's intellectual property, so there's nothing THQ Nordic could do about this.
Right.
Based on the way the deal was worked out.
Yeah, and they're not saying they're in support or not in support. They're just like, hey, that was them.
They sound like they're pretty much like, we want to do that to you.
Probably the way it went out. But, I mean, I think there's some irony, right? THQ Nordic is Darksiders 3, right? Is on the Epic store. I mean, it's on other stores.
That's what they're saying. It's like, we're not going to house our things like that and window our stuff off.
That is what they're saying.
Exactly.
They're like, look, we're all for the Epic store, but not like,
well, I think it's because it's a move that isn't blowing up in anybody's face, but it does seem interesting. Even yesterday where I was like, what does this mean for future Deep Silver properties, right? I think THQ Nordic understands that future ones are going to be intrinsically tied to them.
It's weird. When I read, you know, that news story and I get the big moves that are happening, but it kind of feels like, you know, you're waking up out of bed and you went to step on the floor and it's like a whole nother like level down.
Sure.
It's like, there's a bunch of people that are like, whoa, wait a second. What? It's not on I pre-ordered it on Steam. You're telling me that you can still get it, but it's very odd.
Yeah,
it did feel like a cut.
It's a weird thing to do this late in the game.
Business, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just business.
And people are calling out in the comments or on the You're Wrong, or not You're Wrong, in the Kind of Funny Games Daily questions that this also meant like it was being sold on Humble and it's no longer being sold on Humble. Like things have changed there. Now, what's interesting is yesterday I had a conversation, right, where Jared and I were talking about this Epic Games move. And I did the normal thing where I'm like, this is crazy. They're aggressive. I like what they're doing, though. It's interesting. Shake up the market. But I called out the fact that there had been a Reddit thread on our subreddit that was like, I don't think include you because you weren't here that day or whatever, but it was like, it's weird when they start talking about Steam versus Epic because they really don't know what the fuck they're talking about since none of them play PC. Us, like Greg and Tim or whoever was on that day. And I was like, that's a good point. And I called it out yesterday. I was just like, heads up, we're commentating on something, but we're not in the ecosystem. So when it is that Epic changed their refund policy,
you're not
hooray!
As close to it.
You know what I mean? Oh, they're doing this. They're matching. Blah, blah. We had a conversation about it, which then led to yesterday a thing got going on our PC gaming that got shared on our subreddit to be called out here. And a couple of you wrote it in too, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I wanted to call this out. Now, this is from our PC gaming. It's by Epic Gaming 2142. The headline.
Suspicious name.
Well, trust me, it's not going to go that way.
Okay.
The headline was, can we please all boycott the Epic Games Store? It's full on anti-consumer. The post reads like this. I mean, and this is also like, it was when it got submitted for Games Daily, I saw in the question, it was over 10,000 thumbs up or whatever, upvotes, and now it's over 20,000. I mean, it's just awful. They have terrible security, terrible customer service. The games are more expensive due to Epic's regional pricing. You can't play games offline. No social features like chat, no screenshots, no controller support. They broke EU laws, and they have really scummy tactics. There's no achievements, no cloud saves, no game forums. Epic makes you pay for a transaction fee when buying a game. They pay for exclusive rights to try and force you to use their store. They also refuse refunds, even if you meet criteria. Then, there's no user reviews, no Linux support. This just shows that Epic only cares about the money and nothing else. They're trying to compete with Steam but are failing. Even Valve thinks it's unfair. Get your store together, Epic Games. Now, again, I led into this, this is totally based on me not using either store. I've used Epic Games. He says, no controller support. I'm like, I played Hades with a controller, but I don't know what that means. Controller support to a PC person probably means different thing than what Greg Miller means to PC.
I have some thoughts. It's funny because I do play on both stores.
Yeah.
I play, obviously, on both. I play Fortnite on PC.
Yeah.
I play plenty of games on Steam. I think maybe a couple of these are good points, actually. Things that I honestly have not.
Are they all, have you heard, the one thing I want to put here is, can you confirm they're all right?
So for example.
I started reading through the post and I didn't see people being like, no, mother.
Would be awesome if it hasn't happened in this post, break each down by, you know, a headline, a subhead, and, you know, and describe what's happening. So, for example, no controller. I think what it's saying is, like, you can do a big screen, you know, mode on Steam, and you can, like, surf with your controller and just lean back, and you get this, like, probably. Because, of course, you can play controllers with the games on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a little bit of universal support on Steam. And, I mean, overall, he's or she is right. There are so many features embedded into Steam. Everything from forums to, I mean, Kind of Funny. I don't know if you guys have it. You can have your own critic channel on there. And, like, it's also, they're beta testing live streaming. And whether or not you need it, I'm just pointing out, like.
I mean, I'll gladly go on there and review TurboTax for you and Minesweeper.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Fucking got him.
Set him up. But, yeah, like, IGN, right, has, like, a channel on there. And
yeah.
So, like, when a review comes out, they, like, it's included in like the games and buying them. But yeah, things like screenshots and all that. Like, yeah, like I got to take a screenshot with the desktop on Epic Store. I think that's pretty accurate and stuff like that. So they have a lot to develop.
My one thing here, again, as commentator, sideline guy, I'm just watching this train go by. I don't have a horse in the race at all. I still feel, I don't think it's fair to say this just shows Epic only cares about the money and nothing else. I think it's them launching a store and figuring it out as they go, which maybe isn't the best way to go. But I think as we saw with their refund policy and them coming through and fixing that, I think you're going to see continuous rolling updates. Stick with me. I'm not trying to be. I mean, I guess I'm playing devil's advocate here.
The PC. Just say it, Greg.
I love it. Play games where you want to play. I'm saying Steam has had how many years to get this right and get to here? Steam didn't start this way.
Yes.
Now, granted, if you're launching a competitor to Steam, maybe you should have chat and functions like that built in already. But also, you understand that you're never. It's going to take a while before you're really competing with Steam, if ever.
Yes. Well, I mean, it is interesting. There was the perspective. You guys were talking about it yesterday. Jared was like, it's about the games and just takes a few wins. That's his perspective. Mm-hmm. So that is one version, which is if you get a few really big exclusives, you might suddenly turn people on to using your store. I don't think it is that simple, actually. I think that you are, like, I'm pretty embedded in Steam. Like, I'll go where the games are. It's funny that that is exactly the world we're living in and going back to Quantic Dream. Like, if you're on Switch, good, I have a Switch. I'm not just a one-platform person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right that Steam is very involved, and that was the point I was going to lead to, is I don't know about, like, breaking EU laws and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, that stuff, obviously.
I feel like you could probably look stuff up that Valve has made a couple mistakes, and, like, I'm not saying that Epic is not or is not doing stuff honestly and correctly everywhere.
Yeah.
But going back to your point, look at day one, week one, month one of Steam. That's the list we're dealing with. They had a Fortnite client that was built out of the Unreal, you know, days, and, like, they just launched a store and they're just getting started. So yeah, it doesn't have a lot of features. So that's day one, and I don't know that it is fair to compare, like, it's got none of these other features.
I mean, it's fair to compare. It's out there. It's competing.
It is fair, but meaning to say that they don't care about exactly. It. Like, maybe they really
that's where
want,
I think that's,
you know, all
this on,
support.
Yeah.
So yeah. Who knows what's coming? Maybe it would be pretty smart, you know, for Epic to comment on, oh yeah, we're developing these features.
Oh, I'm sure
they
will.
Do that every week with Fortnite. Yeah. Can we get that update on the store now? Because you're now taking games away from, you know, maybe I am a Steam fan.
Yeah.
So tell me, okay, I have to go there. Well, I like these features. What are you doing about it?
Yeah.
So I think that needs to be taken care of. Yeah.
Okay. Number three, GameStop has stopped trying to sell the company. This is from Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. Reports of an imminent GameStop acquisition will go unrealized as the retailer today announced that it is no longer pursuing a sale of the company. Quote, GameStop's board has now terminated efforts to pursue a sale of the company due to the lack of available financing on terms that would be commercially acceptable to a prospective acquirer, the company explained. Selling the company was just one possibility as part of GameStop's broader strategic review that followed investor outcry last May. The review has already seen GameStop sell its Spring Mobile business for more than $7 million. The chain of AT&T wireless stores had been a centerpiece of GameStop's previous push to diversify its business beyond games, one that also sought to acquire the Simply Mac chain of Apple-certified stores and collectibles retailer ThinkGeek. Since selling Spring, GameStop has said going forward it will focus on its core video game business as well as collectibles. This is not the first time investors have gotten their hopes up about a GameStop sale when exploratory discussions with Sycamore Partners about an acquisition failed to yield progress last August. GameStop shares fell almost 10% to $14.91. Today's news is getting an even frostier reception. As of this writing, shares of GameStop were trading down more than 25% to $11.59. We struggle here a lot. And when I say we struggle, I mean me and Kevin talking off camera, usually with a beer. Where Kevin plays the stock market and does a whole bunch of stock market stuff, right? And I'm always like, I would love to do that. And he's like, you should, dude. I've talked to Jen about it. She's like, we should totally do this. And she says, we know games so well. It'd be so, and I'm like, I don't feel comfortable. And this is like the last vestige of like my Mizzou journalism degree in terms of what we do on a day-to-day. Where I'm like, I don't feel comfortable investing in developer publisher X and then coming out here and then having to be either say that I like this game or don't like this game, feel bad, and then but also have to do the but take it with a grain of salt because I own stock and yada yada yada, right? This one I feel is on the line enough where I'm like, fuck, $11.59, like GameStop's gotta have some juice left in it. I feel like this would be I'm not a financial advisor, kids. Don't listen to me. But I feel like that seems like that's a buy low, sell high thing, Barrett, right?
I don't think they've got a leg left.
You don't think they're coming back?
I think
somebody's
going
to, Walmart will buy them or something.
I think that it'll be at a low, though. I mean, I don't know that it's going to go back up. Now, again, I'm not advising either. I'm making this up like you. I don't invest in stocks. It's funny. This is not a plug, but I will make it a plug, too. I am part of the Epic store. So, right, I'm sending out all these links.
If you want to pre-order
Metro Exodus, here's a link. I got to remember now when I'm talking about these games that potentially I can make millions of dollars off of. But
sure. Oh, but still,
you need to disclose that stuff.
You want to be bulletproof. Separate, we always want to be bulletproof.
Separate point, but you're right. We got to be careful when you invest in that stuff. But to say that there's juice, I don't know, man. I mean, the first thing that everybody's sending out with this is like Blockbuster photos.
Oh, no, are they?
Well, yeah, like that was the discussion I was having with some of the, you know, the IGN folks this morning.
Don't talk to those people.
Exactly. Right? We got a thread. We got to get
left,
a whole,
friend. We've left.
A whole text.
You guys are independent now, huh?
Exactly. But I mean, these are the old boys. You can guess who it is. But I mean, we're Tyrant. Sitting around Blockbuster photos, and I mean, honestly, it hits home. Like I liked Blockbuster at a time, but it came to pass. What are we doing, Greg? Why are you taking photos of me?
I think it's pretty adorable Portillo's passed out on the table during this. Yeah. I thought I'd bring him up here and he'd be a cute centerpiece, but from the wide shot, he just looks dead.
He did.
Oh, Sky Cam. There you go. That's what. Now, this is great. Everybody, that's here's what I need good. You to do. Screen cap this Sky Cam shot and then send it to me. What I need to do is get a Portillo dog bed for the office to sit up here, and I need to know if there's anybody makes custom dog beds, because if I can get the kind of funny logo around the side of the dog Ooh. Bed, we're in business.
I guarantee you that some of it. That's the... That you want to talk about business to invest in? Custom dog beds. That's probably where the business is
and
going
waffles.
Right now. And Greg, you're going to just capitalize.
So you
on
don't
it.
Think GameStop, you think this is the swan song? We're actually entering into it. It's starting to unravel.
I think, it's funny, I thought, one, about Blockbuster, two, about how is Best Buy doing. That's a place that I'll go to. I'd rather go to the superstore than just GameStop. It's not that I don't appreciate the game stores. Like I would.
Oh no! This is not at all. Not taking a knock at game stores.
But what I'm saying is, you go ahead.
Or, and I want to always make clear, we talked about this yesterday, Jared and I, as we talk about what's going to happen with GameStop. We are aware that thousands of people's jobs and livelihood hang in the balance here. We're not trying to play lightly. We're just talking more from the business.
Oh, absolutely not. Like, I thought about that too. I was like, oh my God, how do people who are employed today, and so many of our friends that are friends of the community are, that's
dude,
their jobs.
Tim and I have worked four GameStop manager at conferences, right? And like the people we meet at those expos are fantastic people. Yeah. And it always felt like, and from what they told stories of, that GameStop took care of them.
Yeah.
But you know, see them on the ropes here. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is going to be like an overnight problem. And again, we don't know where this is going. I think the simple way to read into this is GameStop has tried other things. They've tried to stabilize the business a bit.
Yeah.
They might realize the business is smaller now, but maybe it'll be stable for 5, 10, who knows? Stable at that level.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to do these other things and be a conglomerate across the globe. And so maybe that's all it means is, hey, it's just going to be a little steady and stick there. But who knows? On the other side, there are images of, say, Blockbuster coming up. And I actually think of, like, I'm a home theater enthusiast. I love nothing more than I used to go to Magnolia, right? And you made this point, but like now Magnolia got eaten up by Best Buy, which who knows if Best Buy will continue to be out there. Amazon just is everything these days. That's the crazy problem, right? Wouldn't you rather just sit at home, you know, with Courtney's little dog bed, and you're gonna pre-order Kingdom Hearts 3 and just have it sent to your door.
Exactly.
The midnight launch stuff we do in our living room now.
Which is great. It's so much better.
So I don't know how to solve that, but I do love the game stores. So part of me is like, I don't want it to change. Yeah, but
when we went to the mall recently to get something, I think we were trying to buy Pokeballs for
Let's Go.
And it was like walking into a GameStop, it was like, oh, this is cool. And it was also like, wow, this is quaint. I haven't done this in a year, maybe more.
Totally.
And it becomes that thing of like, when I can't do it, that's when it's going to be, oh man. Like the fun of walking into Funko Land and grabbing that newspaper and going through, like,
dude,
those days are gone.
Used cartridges.
Toys R Us, right?
Yes. Like, So, I mean, I loved it, but I was reflecting on that too. I'm like, when have I been to this? Yeah, probably. Like, if I really needed a controller and a special model, I wanted a special color, or a Pokeball was one of them that I almost went there for.
Usually it's honestly just I go in there to kill time. Now, granted, we're different. We're getting our games early for review, you know, so on.
You're like a bevy of all this.
Exactly.
Stuff.
So it's not the same. But for me, it usually is like, oh, well, somebody's going to go, you know, mom needs to pick something up from the mall. While she does that, I'm going to go over there. Or we're just wandering around killing time.
You might have hit the nail on the head, though, is that GameStop, maybe it has that niche, and what we love as fans might do well to be inside a Walmart or someday. I'm not naysaying. But I'm saying if push came to shove, and in the world of Magnolia, I still get to go to Magnolia. So that's all I'm saying. In the version that it's gone, you know, maybe it will live inside some big Best Buy or whatever.
Fine, if they're going to do that, but like actually make it like the video game section. I hate when you go to electronics.
No.
And you get the guy that knows TV, but like, you know, he doesn't know games.
Yeah, no, Magnolia is still run, and that would be the cool part if push came to shove. That's all. I'm not saying it's going to necessarily. So, but if it did, keep that specialness. Don't just like go away. But who knows? Like I said, maybe on the other side, it's stable. They're just saying we're not going to invest in all these other things. We're going to trim things down a little bit. Very hard to say.
Before we switch off topics, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Brian from Seattle says GameStop stock had a 52-week high of $17. So you don't have to you don't have a lot to look forward to with that stock. But
wait,
hey,
how much?
17.
17.
And it's like 14 now. So if we could get back there, that's $3 per stock. You put $100 or you put 100 shares in, that's $300. That's math right there, right?
Yeah, but then there's tax and everything after that.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. And then also Chocolate Thunder said, Greg said GameStop sold Spring Mobile for $7 million, but actually sold for $700 million. That is either me screwing up. It was me screwing up. Sorry, 700 is what it said.
What did you
I screwed. I said 7, apparently. I dropped 2 zeros off of it, which is bad. So there you go. Thank you. Number 4 on the Roper Report, Resident Evil 2 has shipped 3 million copies. This is from Eddie over at GameSpot. The new Resident Evil 2 remake for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC is a huge hit. Capcom has announced that since the game hit 3 million copies shipped worldwide in its first week. Capcom also announced that the entire Resident Evil franchise has now pushed 88 million units shipped since the series debuted back in 1996. It also updated the sales performance of Resident Evil 7, confirming that it reached 60 million copies shipped. So unsurprisingly, Resident Evil isn't Capcom's biggest franchise based on total units shipped. For comparison, the 1998 original Resident Evil 2 reached... I said isn't. Unsurprisingly, Resident Evil is Capcom's biggest franchise based on total units shipped. For comparison, the 1998 original Resident Evil 2 reached 4.96 million in sales during its lifetime, so the new edition is already well on its way to hitting that mark. A big launch week for the remake was no surprise, as the game's unique one-shot demo picked up 4.7 million downloads. Always important to point out, we're talking about shipped numbers, not sold through.
Yeah.
So these are copies shipped
in
to stores.
In stores or where, yep. It's just physical.
For a lot of it, honestly, I feel like it's splitting hairs. I don't think you're going to see that they're going to sell. They're going to send back 2.5 million copies, but you get an idea of the demand.
It's very rare to see shipments this high, and they really missed the mark.
Yeah.
And you pointed it out in the story, Resident Evil 7, they know what it sold. If I'm sitting at Capcom, I don't think it's going to sell less than by that much at worst. You know, at worst. So, it will definitely sell at least.
You've been playing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Still haven't?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. We talked about it on Gamescast. You can check it out. Just went up yesterday.
Yeah.
What day is it? It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Just went
Monday
up yesterday.
Morning, yeah.
YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. But, man, I think universally people are loving it. And for me, I didn't want to rush through it for the show. Part of it was time. But far as I just want to enjoy this. And I've really been taking my time with it. And, man, like, it's so much fun, man.
Tonight I'm getting back to it and doing my second run with Claire. So I'm very excited to get in there and pick up from where I left off.
Yeah, it's like one of those games. If you like horror and, third-person, it's not even a third-person shooter, but if you just like that horror vibe walking around shooting some...
I just feel, and I know it sounds so goofy, especially because we're all old, but like for younger people and then even just people playing, we haven't had survival horror like this in a long time. Where this feels like what I remember survival horror being.
Yeah.
Right? And so many people, it's funny how many people are like, it's the best survival horror since Dead Space. I'm like, well, right. And Dead Space was inspired by Resident Evil. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we're seeing this weird cycle, but it's true.
Yeah. I mean, it was the true originator. And like I said on, Games, because I was like, I think this was what they always envisioned 20 years ago. And they finally have made it. And it's incredible. If anything, I felt like, no, it is. There's enough content because I haven't even beaten it. I think there's enough content, but I want a lot more of this. I know you guys talked about the ghost stories.
Yeah, there's episodic DLC coming up.
So, man, I'm excited that it's doing so well because it means that it's not a franchise, and we've seen it happen to Resident Evil itself.
Yeah.
We're not playing those games right now as a community and as gamers, and it goes away for a while. And it took even Dead Space, I'd have to go back and look, but it did. Like, Resident Evil has existed, but Dead Space was a huge risk. And I want more games like that. I want Dead Space.
I'd love
and
more Dead Space. Hopefully this re-inspires them bringing back Dead Space. Yeah,
and I think that's the upside.
More like Dead Space 2.
Yeah, okay, yeah, more like Dead Space.
Not Dead Space 3.
I still like Dead Space.
No. I loved Dead Space.
It's Alien and Aliens. It's kind of like that.
Okay, fair. That's fair. And then Dead Space 3 is like Thor the Dark World. Blackjack writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Fran. Greg, I want to ask you about the Division 2, but you're probably embargoed to hell. I am. So instead, I want to ask you about the possibility of a Resident Evil 3 remake. In an interview yesterday, the Resident Evil 2 remake director was quoted as saying, quote, they couldn't possibly remake Resident Evil 3 without the fans' permission. So if players really want the remake of Resident Evil 2 and voice their enthusiasm, I'm sorry, if players really enjoy the remake of Resident Evil 2 and voice their enthusiasm, then we could use that as a good indicator, end quote. Do you think it will simply be a matter of sales numbers, or would fan enthusiasm on social media and message boards also play a nice role? Personally, Resident Evil 3 was my favorite because of how terrifying the Nemesis, or how terrifying Nemesis was. If I had to buy the Resident Evil 2 remake twice to get Resident Evil 3, I probably would do it. Thanks as always, Blackjack. Sales are going to be a huge part of it. However, yes, you guys being vocal on social media, respectfully, and message board threads and talking it up, and then also how Resident Evil 2 remake nets out for Game of the Year and considerations like that, that'll be a big part of it as well.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny, I keep plugging Gamescast, but we talked about this very subject, and I thought it was really interesting. As remember, I asked, I was like, where does this leave us with Resident Evil? We've got Resident Evil 7, the first person, like this culty backwoods thing happening. They could just extend that, right? Because FPS,
100%.
Something to it.
Yeah.
People love that game. It sold super well.
Well, it was interesting when you and Tim were talking about it. It really, Tim was making the argument, now we're splitting in two. Similar to like how there's different Mario tracks, right? Where now there can be this Resident Evil first person track that's more modern, going the story that way. And then there can be this remake track.
I said there were three tracks.
What was the third? What did you toss in?
I missed twist. The it wasn't like that inventive. The
visual
though, but
novel?
It was, well, but there's three, I think. There is the FPS Resident Evil 7 track. So what is Resident Evil 8? Maybe it's still that. I think there's a little confusion now, though, of like what the numbers mean. And
sure.
Whatever. There's the FPS track. There's the remake track. So Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which is interesting. I think if you're reading these comments, it almost sounds like he's like, I really want to make this, but I don't know. The discussion at Capcom is we need to do whatever. Resident Evil 8, and maybe they want to do, we talked about skipping to Resident Evil 4 first. But remake track, FPS track, and then... brand new track, which is the Dead Space track, let's call it. Capcom reinvents Resident Evil storyline, you know, in their own way, and they start this whole new Resident Evil reborn.
Resident Evil.
So that maybe that's the third track. I would love to see that, but I don't think they have the development resources for all that.
I would hope. Did you play 3?
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
3 is like a blind spot for me.
I got to go back and look
again.
I've
played 1. I started 2 and didn't like it. Now, obviously, I've played a remake. Played 4. I played Code Veronica was my first real Resident Evil because it was when I had it was PS2. I was right there. I was ready to go. Fuck Dreamcast.
Oh, what? What?
Fuck it, everybody.
Are you kidding
me? You burned my tater tots with the Sega Saturn, and I couldn't get a Dreamcast on that. That's what kills you, Sega. It's on you.
I know we don't have time for it.
Dreamcast, great system. Great games.
What?
It just broke my heart that I couldn't buy it because they had already burned my bridge. What am I going to do? I can't come back from my hash. Oh, come on.
That's fair. I thought you were
hating on it. Crazy Taxi. Come on.
Choo-choo Rocket. Seaman.
Take me to Pizza Hut. Another game I enjoyed a lot on PlayStation 2.
I'm just happy that Resident Evil is selling. I'm a fan of the genre. This is super exciting news. But yeah, get out there. If you want Nemesis, I think you are going to have to really make some noise about it.
I'd love to see them just do a modern day survival horror, brand new Resident Evil. But I don't know what that even looks like.
Maybe I need to go back and do like a little let's play of it or something.
Maybe.
Go back and remember.
Final story on the Rope Report, number 5. It's one sentence for you guys. There is a change.org petition to get Shaggy from Scooby-Doo in Mortal Kombat 11, and it has more than 155,000 signatures.
Yeah, let's go.
What?
I had seen the joking images get circulated, didn't pay attention to it. And then I saw the story today of like, oh, this is where we're at. Okay.
So are you up to date with like, he's like kind of a recent meme?
Yeah, and Matthew Lillard's making a comeback, too. I see him on Reddit with Shaggy stuff all the time.
Wait,
he's still been voicing Shaggy.
I don't mean coming back as Shaggy. I mean, I've seen a lot of heartwarming videos of Matthew Lillard doing Shaggy stuff lately.
Wait, they'll bear it in, like, a dozen words. What is it? The Shaggy meme? I've missed this.
People are comparing Shaggy to the strength of Goku. Pretty much.
Shaggy.
They're just like, oh, Shaggy is, like, an all-powerful being.
Zoinks! All right. I don't get it, but...
And I'll tell you who will kill this. Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, yeah.
I 100% bet that... I'm pretty sure. Kind of funny. I 100% bet that Ed Boon and team sees this, and they're like, that'd be fucking hilarious, this DLC. What a great way... Like, remember how people flip for Ninja Turtles? Imagine if they're like, here's DLC, and fucking Scooby-Doo and Shaggy walk out. But, like, under no fucking circumstance is Hanna-Barbera, or whoever owns the IP, but I'm pretty sure it's Hanna-Barbera, yeah, going to be cool with the fucking x-rays of Shaggy's skull shattering and people ripping his heart out?
Probably not. So, perfect. I pulled up. Thank you, Google, for search working. Pulled up, you know, yeah, the whole news. Ed Boon did tweet about this.
I didn't see the Ed Boon part.
So, someone comes in and says, we want Shaggy.
Yeah, yeah.
Ed Boon retweets and says,
let me know how that works out for you.
And the best part is underneath is this is the image of the Shaggy meme. So this is what he's talking about. It's freaking, yeah, I've never seen this. It's Shaggy.
It's Ganon. It's Ganon. Gandalf.
Gandalf.
It's from the bad, the not Clerks movies. What are they called?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Sorry. Yeah, that thing. What? He says, no matter what comes through that gate, you will stand your ground. And then the Shaggy lit up like Goku. He's like, going, run!
Run!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Run,
I just thought it was a fun little thing. A little dessert for you here, honestly, on the Roper Report.
It's my favorite story so far.
Fran, here's where I say to you.
I know. I value you.
That information's coming up. But instead, I'm going to insert our sponsors here because we've been going long.
So we'll do this
after.
We've
been inserting reader mail. I just want to make sure we get done and don't bury anything.
I talk too much.
No, you do. No, this has been a great show.
I'm kidding.
Shh, come here. Touch my wiener. Touch my
wiener. Whoa. Oh, God, what?
If you're an audio listener, there's a wiener dog on the table. Today, Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Quip and Alien Blackout. Let's start with Quip, which I just ordered before the show. Starting a healthy routine and sticking to it are two different things. Inevitably, we all skimp on that full night of sleep, skip a workout or two, or brush our teeth with a tired old toothbrush. We are not perfect, but we can do better, and Quip is a better electric toothbrush that can help. Built-in two-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your mouth evenly. Up to 90% of us don't brush for the full 2 minutes and don't clean evenly. There's a multi-use cover that works as a stand, mounts to mirrors, and slides over your bristles to pack and protect your Quip on the go. This is one of the main reasons I'm ordering it. I have a gross toothbrush in my travel bag, and I just want to take one with me and be done with it. Plus, there are no wires or clunky chargers, and it runs for 3 months on a single charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule of every 3 months for just $5, a friendly reminder of when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health. Quip is one of the first electronic toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals, and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews. That's why we love Quip. Nick uses it. Gia uses it. Everybody loves it. That's why I got it. I didn't realize it came in a bunch of colors. I got Kind of Funny blue and white. Then I got Jen rose gold. And then I almost bought an all-black one, but I was like, you know what? I'll stick with the blue and white.
Two's enough, Greg. You already have two toothbrushes. You need a third one?
Well, yeah, no,
I don't
need
that. Third one for 40?
No, geez, he hates this. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That is your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Our other sponsor, Alien Blackout. Could you survive standing face-to-face with the perfect bioengineered killing machine? If you're like me, you are probably deathly afraid of xenomorphs. I am. And the fine folks at Fox Next and D3 Go want to put you to the test in a new chapter in the Alien franchise, in Alien Blackout. Available today on your mobile device. In Alien Blackout, you must do all that you can to stay alive while trapped aboard the crippled Weyland-Yutani space station that is carrying a deadly alien organism. You know, like the one in the movies. And the xenomorph definitely does not like your crew aboard this space station and is ready to tirelessly hunt you and your crew down. Can you survive 7 fear-inducing levels that take the reins as Amanda Ripley? Yes, that Amanda Ripley, which you may remember as the daughter of Ellen Ripley. Guide your crew in Alien Blackout through increasingly challenging situations, only using your wits and the station's failing emergency systems. Alien Blackout is a unique fear-inducing space survival horror mobile game experience that will test the inner nerves of both alien and horror fans alike. Click on the link in the description of this video or head over to d3go.com/kfgames and download Alien Blackout for the App Store, Google Play, and Amazon App Store today. That's link in the description of the YouTube video or d3go.com/kfgames. Fran? What?
Oh, I was just saying, before you do the release list, I wanted to throw two things out.
Sure, do it.
Go. Just news that is very, maybe minor, but important to me. One, I saw that they added on Fortnite mobile controller support, which is...
What?
Yeah, it was in the update. I was like, what? So, like, does that work with iOS? I assume so. That's huge.
Wait, I can, like, Bluetooth my... PlayStation
controller?
Yeah, it
was in the update for Fortnite for Battle Royale. It says that you can use the Bluetooth controller. So anyway, gotcha. Check it out. I just read it on the way. Number two, the last word quest for Destiny 2 is out today. So if you're chasing that last word, get out there.
Seems like that would have been a great thing for out today dates, but you totally usurped me. You know what I mean?
It's not on the list.
If I wanted to know more about dates and where they should be, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software, Greg, Each.
You ad-lib. You tried to ad-lib. You can't do that.
I'm usually really good at it. Okay. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Before we get into the list, You're Wrong pops up here about the Shaggy writes in to say, Scooby-Doo and the Cyber Chase was the final production made by the Hanna-Barbera studio, which was absorbed into the parent company, Warner Brothers Animation, following William Hanna's death in 2001. Of course, WB publishes Mortal Kombat. Now, again, I still don't think they're going to be down
all
with...
All of the pieces of the puzzle are coming together,
ripping
Greg.
Shaggy's head off while Scoob screams off screen.
That'd be good.
Out today, mechs arrive in World of Tanks and Mercenaries with the new Core Breach mode. Genesis Alpha 1 is out on Xbox One, PS4, PC. Kingdom Hearts 3 is out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Ridiculous Rugby is on PC and Mac. Earth Atlantis is on PC. Tank Mechanic Simulator is on PC. Stormhill Mystery, Family Shadows is on PC and Mac. Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy is on Switch. New dates for you. Turn-based action strategy game, but Betelja. It's Betel with a J. To launch on Steam February 21st. Zelda-like game Windscape is launching on consoles and PC March 27th. And then Warhammer Age of Sigmar Champions comes to Steam in February and Nintendo Switch later in Q1. I got two deals of the day for you, both Xbox. This weekend, Xbox Live Gold members can enjoy Gears of War 4 for free with Xbox Live's Gold's free play days from January 31st, 12:01 to February 3rd, midnight. Then, February's games with gold have been announced. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon is available February 1st to the 28th on Xbox One. Super Bomberman R is available February 16th to March 15th on Xbox One. Assassin's Creed Rogue is available February 1st to the 15th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And then Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy is available February 16th to the 28th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. Reader mail time frame.
Yep.
Let's find a good one for you, because I feel like we've had a great show. This has been a good show, Frank.
Yeah.
All right, you know what I mean? Thank you.
Yeah, you always say you that, and I feel, you know.
Can you do the show Friday, by the way, with Tim? Look into it.
It's the anthem day.
Oh, so, we were talking about maybe doing the thing, right?
Honestly, it was like one of my most successful days so far.
No, don't do that.
This is also super successful.
I have plenty of people.
But let's talk about it.
No, just don't do it. We'll figure out the other thing.
It. It's like, you're not doing it at all now.
Don't do it. No, I refuse to have
do
you.
Do it. Don't do it. That's society. What's
the question? Let's talk about Anthem. David Scott writes in.
Let's do it.
To patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, like so many of you can. It says, yesterday Josh wrote in talking about his gripe with EA. I just want to give more information about the microtransactions in Anthem. There is a currency for purchasing vinyls, cosmetic armor upgrades, and using for crafting. You get this currency from playing the game, and I'm assuming at launch you'll be able to purchase with real money. My question is, do either of you judge a game based on the publisher? Personally, I care more about the developer in this situation, BioWare. David Scott. Mm-hmm. Fran, you've already done the VIP stuff with Anthem, right?
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Was it awesome?
Played like 30 hours, Jeez Louise, it was insane.
But your progress doesn't carry over.
It carries over to this weekend, though. So
oh, wow. Okay.
I get to go into the open beta at level 15.
Just beat the hell out of everything.
It's funny because, yeah, it's not even... This is a game that's from like 6 weeks ago, and it's totally changed as it goes into final release.
But yeah. Have you been following? Have they talked about microtransactions?
In fact, there was just some more news about it. So I don't know. If you could look up Anthem microtransactions and see if there's a quote. They did confirm. They're like, they're in the game. Look, they're vanity. That is the simple thing. I know everybody's worried about it. And my reaction is, this is what people have been asking for like a year or more because of EA's history and loot boxes and everything. They're like, crap, Anthem's going to be screwed by EA. Like, look, I understand EA made some mistakes. You gotta understand what you said, which is this is BioWare. Yeah. This is their property.
Well, I'm gonna toss it over to Robert Ramsey at pushsquare.com. Anthem microtransaction controversy starts early. BioWare says pricing isn't finalized. This is from yesterday at 5:30 a.m. An image of Anthem's microtransaction store has surfaced on Reddit, prompting more than a few raised eyebrows. At first glance, the pricing seems extraordinary, with various cosmetic items going for around $20 a pop. Shards are the game's premium currency, and based on what we know, 100 shards is roughly $1. The picture shows javelin paint jobs for 2,000 shards each. This is the same kind of pricing you'll find in various free-to-play titles like Fortnite and full-price titles like Fallout 76, but we don't talk about that one anymore. Needless to say, this is blah, blah, blah. However, BioWare's Chris Schmidt was on hand to shed some light on the situation, stating that, quote, these prices don't represent final, stamped for all... stamped for all of eternity pricing. We are iterating on our economy design and balance almost daily. So you're seeing a snapshot of one iteration. This is why we tend to not discuss things like pricing, because it's one of those iterative things that's sure to change frequently right up until the day you play the game, end quote. In other words, the pricing shown on the screenshot is not final. It's also worth noting that previously BioWare had said that no items will be locked exclusively behind the shard's currency. Everything can be bought with coin, another currency that can be earned through playing the game. Of course, we don't know how long you'll have to grind in order to get a good amount of coin, but that question can be answered once Anthem is out.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Couple quick thoughts. Man, where do I even start? The first thing was we need to understand how much is already in the game. That is, I think, first and foremost, you plop down 50, 60, 70 bucks, whatever.
Yeah.
Origin, Premier Pass, 100 bucks. Are you getting enough out of the game that you're like, oh my God, I have so many vinyls to choose from. I have so many like armor pieces to customize and animations and all that. Is there enough already in the game that you're like, well, this other stuff looks amazing. You know, there's a Shaggy vinyl. I want that. That's the
Mystery Machine vinyl.
That's the twist. But how much is already in the game? Number one, you have to have the context. Two, you already said it. How long does it take to get this coin? I would hate to find out. We go back to the Battlefront 2 problem where somebody calculated the hours.
Yeah.
And it was like nuts to just unlock like one skin that costs like, I don't know if it was 20 bucks, but it was like thousands of hours or something. It's crazy.
Sure.
So I would hope that they've done the math and as they're saying here, they're not finalized. So long story short, we've got to see that stuff first. But what I would expect is the Fortnite model. Is there going to be a $20 vinyl? Probably almost. There's a $40 one here, which is crazy. But that's not final. But a $20 vinyl, yeah, yeah. I bet you can bet your bottom dollar. I don't know how the shards are used, by the way. It almost a
100 shards is roughly $1, so that's what they're talking about. So 2,000 shards would be $20.
Oh, so then what are the coins for?
The coin is the coin you'd have. It's in-game currency versus your.
Oh, you can buy
purchase
with
currency.
Either. I thought you had to buy with both. So I don't know. Well, the game's not final.
You can buy with both, but you're only.
No, but I thought you had to use both currencies.
Oh, no, it's one currency. It's one currency. So you have the coin you're earning in the game, you have the shards you're earning or buying.
Yeah, because unfinished and in parts of the game I can talk about, there was like you would use for crafting both things.
Oh, really?
They had you using both material, I thought, but maybe it was one or the other.
It was one or the other, I bet. Yeah.
I'm so confused at how that works, but we'll see where it goes.
We will see. That's the biggest thing for me, and it goes back to yesterday, too. If you're on the fence and you're worried about it, I would just say wait till reviews. And I know that's hard. We all want to be in the conversation, but you'll have reviews, and you'll, I mean, day one, you're gonna have a million thoughts.
Dude.
By 12 hours in, you're gonna know if the economy's weird or not, and then you can make your choice.
Now that I'm looking and understand what the heck these numbers mean, it's just like Fortnite, and the fact that
I hear you, and I
know
can
you're
tell
gonna
you,
say it's free, right?
Exactly, you're gonna get taken off the knees by the commenters there.
Which goes back to what I said, how much is already in the game is super important.
Yeah.
Are you already satisfied that if we go beyond it? But you're right, Battle Royale, you know, Fortnite gets a free pass, but I take issue with it. There are very expensive, non-interesting reskins in Fortnite, people buying 20 bucks. It's like, well, that's your choice, because there's so much in the game, and Battle Pass actually is a great system overall. So that's what it's dependent on. So
it's a big question. Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
be surprised. The $20. Yeah, I think this is going to be 20 bucks right there.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to be 20 bucks.
Okay. You think that's what they're going to keep it at?
Yeah.
Okay.
For stuff, those epic things, they're going to test it. And then if nobody buys it, they'll bring the price down.
We'll see. Real quick before we sign off, David's question, though, was like, do you judge a game based on the publisher?
No, I think it factors into it, but I judge it based on the developer, number one.
When we're judging a game, David, I think it 100% comes down to we're judging what we're playing.
Yeah.
That's
all
it comes down to.
That doesn't mean that like Activision or EA is not going to have influence,
sure.
But Bungie and BioWare are going to stand
even
up.
Even that, I think you can see them have influence on different games, but like it could be good, it could be bad.
Yep.
Don't know.
It'd be the same as when Kinda Funny and Greg go work for a publisher. Yes,
sure.
You're working for them, but you're still going to get Greg.
Yeah.
You're still going to get Kinda Funny.
And if they say I can't curse, fuck them. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you rides into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Today, Dan needs help on PlayStation 4. His username is xsilverlobo21x. I'm looking for help in Monster Hunter World. I haven't played since the Final Fantasy update after unlocking the Behemoth fight. But I have never slain the beast. I'm in need of some help to grind out the big purple bastard. Also, it would be nice to have some best friends to play with when Geralt arrives and Frostborn is added later in this year. If you want to play Monster Hunter with Dan, xsilverlobo21x.
Greg, I'm going to reread this, and maybe I'm just really tired, but when I say, but I've never slain the beast, Amon needed some help to grind out this big purple bastard.
You just have a dirty mind, Fran. You have a dirty mind.
I, you know, take it as you will.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast servers around the world. BG2580 says Best Buy has been profitable for several years now and has seen growth in several areas in the last few quarters. They are innovating faster to be more services-based than product-based. Peter says, extra info on the Steam controller support versus Epic Game Store. Along with Steam's big picture mode, Steam also has universal controller configuration settings. This means that even games that don't natively have a controller support on PC, you'd be surprised how many don't, can still be played with the controller really easily. So that's what they're talking about. More Hanna-Barbera stuff. And then, that Evan Jordan says, in Anthem, you can actually mix and match the currencies to buy one item. If you don't have enough of either currency to use strictly one type for the purchase. So that's interesting. He says that, I think that's where Fran was confused.
You can mix them to buy.
So if I'm 100 coins short, I can go into my shards and combine them for one total. See what I mean? That's actually nice.
Interesting.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Kind of Funny Games Daily for you on this Tuesday. Keep your head up. Keep going. Tomorrow's host is going to be Witta. Thursday, it's going to be Britt and Fran. Is that right? Yeah. And Friday, it's going to be somebody and Tim. Okay. I need to figure that out. But not Fran, because Fran will be streaming Anthem. And you should check it out on twitch.tv/FM3_.
Thank you, Greg.
Why did he put the underscore there?
Nobody knows. I'm trying to get it to FM3, but it's tough.
You know how it is.
Instagram verification.
Okay, that was a little blow. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.